Breaking news, everybody! Come follow me now! Join my program, Naps Anabolic and Level Up Nutrition Guide, at a discounted rate, mindpumpradio.com. Get fucking ripped.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. You've got the three most powerful, best debaters in the fitness industry. And matter of fact,
in the universe.
I'm a master debater.
We're the master debators.
Yes.
Of the masters of the universe debaters. Are you got food in your mouth? You're trying to
I'm actually about? Also a master fisherman.
Can we just tell these
masturbator?
Oh, I get it.
It's unbelievably unprofessional. That I'm eating and I'm doing this, but dude, you guys have.
Is there anything professional about the show, though?
No, there's nothing professional about me. I'm not. You know what? That's just like when people too. I've had people give me a hard time about, like a role model and stuff like that. Like
What on the show?
No, just in general. Like you get to a certain point where you know. Then there's always some parent or somebody comes up to you and tries to tell you like, do you really think you should cuss like that and say this, or do you really think you should post things like that? And
you're like, oh shit!
Do you know how many kids?
It's
are
It's not your
up
job to raise their kid.
Well, yeah,
raise your own fucking kid.
Yeah, no, I never said I'm some role model. Like I ain't trying to be nobody's role model. Like you can don't follow me, but I wouldn't do what I did. I wouldn't do what I do. Like I'm not trying to tell you.
You're my role model. All right, we're doing the Q&A. Oh, I forgot to introduce us. This is Sal DiStefano.
Supermodel.
I'm here with Adam Schaefer.
Woo woo.
And Justin Andrews.
Yeah, baby.
And we got Doug Eggy in the background, the producer.
Yes, sir.
There he is. All right, so let's do a little Q&A. We're going to start with the first question. This is from one of our Instagram followers. His name is Dog
Doggy
Fitness.
Dog Fitness.
DWG underscore fitness.
I already like this guy.
Now, his question is, what do we think about minimalist shoes? So minimalist shoes.
Does that mean
are,
like the five finger shoes?
Shoes or running barefoot.
Minimalist is without the little finger slits. But yeah.
It's just basically it's shoes with a really thin
like
sole.
Ballerina slippers.
I don't know if you should wear those outdoors.
Like my chucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those might be minimalist, but you know, no, he's talking about they're kind of like the
I know
five
what
finger
they are, yeah, but they have the bottom, the tread is
I have Merrells like that.
Merrells, yeah, those are good shoes.
So he wants to know what's the positive, what are the negatives of using them for everything from walking.
I can tell you one right out the gate. I can tell you already, you look silly. There's your first negative.
Why'd you look at me?
Because I know you got a pair. You just said you had a pair.
So I do.
And you already look silly, and then that makes you look even more silly.
Yeah.
But
which is fine.
I mean, of course, there's like some benefits to it. You're barefoot, and most of us have been walking around shoes since before we could walk. Our parents were putting shoes on us when we were crawling, so we've got adapted to having our feet in platforms our entire life. And then now, all of a sudden, you work barefoot. Whoa, some new muscles got to fire and work
right
now. So
there are muscles on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah. So there's going to be some cool benefits to getting that, you know. But
well, you guys know how this whole trend started.
How it started?
Yeah, this whole trend of like going barefoot or wearing these minimalist shoes.
Was it based off that tribe in South America?
Yeah, there was this guy. He was a runner. I think he was a scientist. And he went and observed how people, you know, ran in some of these tribes. I believe it was in South America or there's a tribe somewhere
it's
down in Mexico.
It's the book that I'm thinking of.
And what he noticed was a lot of them ran barefoot or ran with very, very minimal type shoes. And the way that their foot strikes the ground is different than the way the foot strikes the ground when you have big, thick running shoes.
Well, your toes can grip. Think about it.
Well,
right?
What happens is you land forefoot first instead of heel first. So if you put like running shoes on, they're designed to like strike with the heel first. And with these minimalist shoes or when you run barefoot, you tend to strike with the ball of your foot. Just like a split second before the heel, because the ankle is actually a massive shock absorber.
Mm-hmm.
And what he noticed was this is the way we're supposed to run. And then, of course, you know, it's better to do it this way. But here's the deal. If you're 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 years old and you're like, oh, great, I'm going to go run barefoot. You know what's going to happen? You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Because you've been in shoes your whole life.
Exactly.
So it would probably take you, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a progression. I mean, you have to train them just like any other muscle. Like, and I've actually had some clients go from real padded shoes that some of them even have had like orthotics and you know, trying to like scale that out. You know, it takes time. Like, you have to really start at different levels. because your foot is formed into a certain position for so long, yeah. It acts like it atrophies. It's like a cast. So.
Have you seen a foot?
It's like a squeam for your feet.
It's a squeam feet. It's it a is. Foot squeam. It's
bro,
a,
so
that's the new name for shoes.
So your
squeams? Oh, you mean your foot squeams? Yeah.
So, nice foot squeams, bro.
Yeah.
So Adam's very nicely manicured feet would not last a second.
Yeah.
In like a primitive society.
That's another reason why I'm not a fan of these things, man.
Yeah. That's why you don't wear them.
I don't want my toes to get all scuffed.
Have you seen like when they do like when you see like hunter-gatherer societies that still exist? Have you seen pictures of their feet?
No, I've not. I've so not first seen of all, hunter-gatherer society. Where are you hanging out, bro?
Is this just
outside of San Jose?
You just gotta research it, bro.
He's like, when you're heading down 101, you take a right over.
No. You go online, look it up. So they have pictures of their feet.
Oh, you see me like National Geographic?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have. I see a National Geographic.
Yeah, you just look at the boobs.
Yeah.
So they have really thick soles, really thick calloused soles, and then their toes are kind of spread out. And if you look at the average American who takes their shoes off, their toes are all scrunched together. Some people have hammer toes. The bottom of the foot looks like it's just a thin piece of skin. So you're gonna go try running barefoot. It's not gonna be good for you. Now, in terms of lifting weights, I will say this: for some lifts, very minimalist shoes are awesome. If you're gonna deadlift, yeah. You want very flat. If you could do it barefoot, that would be great.
Well, that's why the big. I mean, I don't know about you guys. If you've noticed this, I mean, for sure, we talked about this before in a podcast that you know, since the CrossFit generation or whatever like that has came around or era. You've seen this huge amount of increase of people squatting and deadlifting in the squat racks and stuff. And then the second most trendiest thing I've seen now too is barefoot. People are taking their shoes. Like that's like the new thing.
Well, that and platform type shoes.
Yeah.
That elevate your heel.
I was just going to say, because if you're doing deadlifts, you want shoes that are almost barefoot. If you want to squat, most people do better with a little bit of a heel.
Yeah. A little bit of a heel.
Yeah. Like the Olympic lifting shoes, right? Because when I squat, I wear, I have hiking boots that I wear. And then when I do deadlifts and every other workout, I have the minimalist shoes that you make fun of and you say I look stupid in. Those are the ones I wear. Yeah. Those are the ones I wear.
It takes all this shit personally.
Well, you know, a lot of people squat barefoot, so that's a big popular thing.
Yeah. I can't do it because I'm too tight in my calves. I squat better with a little bit of heel.
I love squatting barefoot and doing kettlebell workouts.
Do you wear pants? Do you wear pants too when you squat?
Sometimes I don't.
Okay. Then you know how far down you've gone.
Yeah, once it hits the floor, it's like, oh, whoop.
That is an awful visual.
I'm right back out.
That's an awful visual.
It probably is a really bad thing to focus on.
We take a saucer of cold water. We put it underneath it. He squats down.
Here's my one thing I'm also going to say on this. If you like them, you dig them, you think they're cool, and you enjoy it, then go for it. Do it. You know, more power to you. I'm always a guy like, okay, biggest bang for my buck, a pair of shoes ain't going to do shit, dude. I mean, you're talking about splitting hairs on like how much it's going to help your performance or help, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, if you're just working out and look, you know, doing like stuff to improve your look and physique and all that, like if you're trying to actually move and function and get lateral and transverse plane motion in it, if you have like padded shoes, like it's really difficult to, the whole cross training shoe was a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I will just say, as far as like having the minimalist shoes, if you're doing things that are a little more athletic based, they're great.
Sure.
But doing the sled or whatever, you're going to tear the shit out of those shoes and they're going to last you a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good point. Next question. This is from Tess_Christie. So TESS_Christie. It's another Instagram follower. Her question is, what are our thoughts on dairy?
Milk is for babies.
When you grow up, you have to drink beer.
Milk is for babies.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about dairy? What do you guys think about cow milk? Because there's like conflicting, right? There's people who say it's good for you.
I don't drink it.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't have dairy. I'm dairy intolerant, so I don't have any. However, there is a big difference. Now, first of all, if you're going to have dairy and you want the health effects of dairy, you got to have the full fat.
It's got to be the real deal.
Have full fat, whole milk. That's where you get the benefit.
Once it's pasteurized, homogenized, you're pretty much taking out most all the major good stuff that comes with it.
You know, they do studies. They've done lots of studies on that. Weston Price did a lot of studies on this where they took raw. And by the way, the reason why milk was pasteurized in the first place was because a certain point in American history, cows were crammed into these small little, you know, cells, and they were fed shit, and they would have bacteria in their milk, and people were getting sick, and so they had to pasteurize it. Well, if you have healthy cows that are eating grass and they're out in the open, you can drink raw milk and it's going to be okay.
I used to squirt it in my coffee when I was milking them.
Did you really?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah. Wow.
Every day, that was, right, I get my little, that was right,
was
from
it
the,
warm?
Right from the teat, bro. That's why it was awesome. It wasn't like, because normally when you have coffee, your creamer,
it kind of pours me out. I don't
it's
know
cold, but straight from the teat, bro, it's warm, right?
What you, is just, it, you just doing the jerking off motion here.
There's a roll.
Wait for the video, everybody.
There's a roll with your fingers, bro. There's a technique to it.
You can't just pull on it.
No, you can't.
You gotta roll.
It's always funny to watch somebody try and pull on it and think their milk's gonna come out. It doesn't work that way.
It's probably the same, sensitive. Like, if well,
it's
if you
the
do
same
it the
thing.
Wrong
as,
way,
it's
like,
probably the same way
like
if Sal pulled on your dick if it was going to come or not. It probably wouldn't.
Oh my
work. God! Probably wouldn't. It probably wouldn't. Right?
Wow.
No.
It didn't take. It didn't take long for Adam to go way off the deep end. Dairy, full fat, raw milk, very good for you. Jeez, I'm trying to get back on subject. You're talking
milk
about hand jobs and
damn it.
All right, next question. This is from John Wayne Cowboy. So John_Wayne_Cowboy. Okay, this is a good question. What's a trigger session? So we've been talking about trigger
What's
sessions
a
all
trigger
the time.
Trigger session. Paragraph.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, a trigger.
That was horrible.
That was bad.
I apologize.
So in a trigger session is designed. So let me rewind a little bit. You send signals to your body to build muscle in a number of different ways. One of the ways that you send a signal, the one that we're all familiar with, is by causing muscle damage. So we all know that, right? You work out, you get sore, you cause micro tears in muscle in your muscle fibers, and then they aim to repair and then build stronger so that they can withstand that stress the next time without getting damaged. But what people don't realize is that there's other signals that will tell your body to build more muscle. And just speaking for myself personally, this came to me because I was reading this study in the New England Journal of Medicine. Yes, I do read the New England Journal of Medicine. There was this fantastic study in there where they took groups of people and they had them lift weights. And this was a trip because one group, they had them stay natural. And then the other group, they had them take steroids and they had them not work out. So they said, you don't do anything, just take some steroids. And then over here, you guys lift weights properly and stay natural. And the steroid group actually built more muscle. They didn't even lift weights. So to me, right off the bat, I said, holy shit, tearing muscle down is not necessary.
How powerful is that hormone?
Well, what it tells me is that your body doesn't just build muscle from tear down of muscle. You don't have to damage muscle to build.
It's got to be stimulated. That's it.
Yeah. There's other methods. Mm-hmm. And so you're limited when it comes to in the gym. I can't go to the gym and lift weights hard and tear muscle down every single day, you know, 2-3 times a day, because there's a limit. There's a point at which your body's recovery ability just gets, you know, overcome. You can't do it. So I thought to myself, how can I stimulate muscle growth frequently, like all the time, without tearing muscle down all the time? And that's what a trigger session concept is. And so in a nutshell, a trigger session is a very short, very low intensity, full range of motion type of activity where you're aiming for a pump. You're aiming for a small burn, kind of like what you might do backstage, Adam, when you're pumping up. You're not like doing a hard workout. You're just trying to get blood flow.
Yeah.
And as a result, what the trigger session does is it facilitates recovery. You recover faster. It amplifies the muscle building signal from the day before where you actually did tear muscle down. And you create little to no muscle damage. So it acts like a turbocharger. And so this is what a trigger session is. And this is what people are doing. That's what Justin's been doing as part of his routine. And we all
do. We just all have different...
We all do.
Yeah.
And we all think
it's like Viagra for the muscle.
It is. And we all think it's pretty breakthrough. I think it's something that people are going to start utilizing more and more. It's a concept nobody's ever really talked about. Yeah. So that's what a trigger session is. And you can use it in a whole bunch of different ways. Adam uses it differently than Justin's been using. For example, Adam, how are you using?
So
because your number one goal is...
Yeah, aesthetics. So I'm always looking at, you know, and the way you've designed trigger session is for overall, right? So overall balance for somebody, and like it's phenomenal the way it's designed. But when I'm going through the MAPS program, I'm always modifying for what I'm specific. So for example, after every show, I critique my physique because when I'm peeled all the way down to like 2% body fat, I can really see. My symmetry of what, you know, where I'm off, what needs more development. And I'm always super critical of myself. And after every show, there's something that I'm focusing on. And I like to pick just like one or two muscles that I'm like, so, you know, I'm going to bring up my calves. And I'll even be as specific, like maybe my, you know, my rear delts, you know, rear delts and calves. And so my trigger sessions are consist of exercises targeting those more frequently than anything else, just because that's more important to me to watch that bring up than anything else. Not that you couldn't do it. Probably how Justin is, where he's hitting all the other body parts and everything, which is he's probably getting more bang for his buck. But I'm looking for a more specific, you know, change in a muscle group.
Now, how's it working for you since you've been doing that?
Oh, it's been great. You know, it's been one of the big things that I've changed as far as how I train is. And when I was younger, I felt like I could pound my body, like in my workouts, in beast mode, you know, every workout, and just come back and just be sore, come back, be sore, work through it. I mean, never stretched, never did anything like that. And now it's like, I mean, my body lets me know when it's been overdone in the slightest bit. I've got achy, just like my clients used to always tell me. And you know, it's the best and worst thing that ever happened to me. It's the best because, you know, for so many years I used to teach my clients and tell them, but I probably didn't focus on it as much as I do now. Now that I see feel the importance of it and realize like, and can see, like, for example, you know, because I'm training for shows and I'm like, for example, talking about, like trying to bring up like my shoulders, right? So that was a focus on like two shows ago. So I was hitting shoulders at least three times a week. And what was happening was my shoulders actually were fine, but my triceps from hitting shoulders three times a week and hitting chest at least two times a week, yeah, and then also hitting triceps again. I mean, my triceps were getting so overworked. They were so shortened and tight that it was pulling on my ulna. And my elbow felt like someone sticking a knife right in my elbow. And, you know, I didn't realize what I thought, well, man, what did I do? I did something like, oh, wait, maybe this is tennis elbow. This is what everyone talks about. What is this? And then I go get my massage. Katrina's rubbing me out and I tell her where I'm hurting. And so she hits my trigger point in my back and then starts to release my tricep. All of a sudden I have like full range of motion. All the pain goes away right away. I'm like, holy shit. So because of that, I've now learn to incorporate it too, kind of how Justin was doing with the dynamic flexibility. So that's why I thought that was really cool that he was doing that. And I was asking if that's what he would consider that when he was doing that, because sometimes my trigger sessions will be like that. Well, they'll be, I'm working on flexibility and range of motion. So I'll get the little pump, but really what I'm trying to do is also stretch a muscle out and keep it active like that and not let it shorten and get tight like that. So I play with it a lot, dude. And I think that's the fun part about you know, how you originally designed this. And it's so neat to listen to Justin tell his story and how he set it up. And then I don't really talk about what I'm doing because it's different, you know? And we just have that trainer mentality. We see your program, we're like, this is awesome. Now, how am I going to twist this for exactly how I would utilize it for me?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love that. All right. So the next question is from, and I can't really read that. Okay. It's from R.Y. Rivera 10. His question's about occlusion training, otherwise known as BFR, which stands for blood flow restriction training. We've talked about this a couple times.
We've talked about it. We've brought it up.
We've brought it up a couple
not
times.
Not in big detail, though.
No, and the reason why we haven't gone too much into depth is because it's an advanced technique. It's the potential for you to mess up is high. But does it give you results when you do it right? Well, I can tell you, and Adam will attest to this, and I know Doug's been doing this quite a bit also. We've been doing it now, and we figured out kind of how to do it right, and it does work. Oh, yeah. You do build more muscle with it. So occlusion, the reason why it's called occlusion is you're using knee wraps to occlude venous outflow. So in other words, if I'm doing my arms, I'll use knee wraps and I'll wrap them up near my armpit, around my arm, and it prevents blood from coming out of the muscle, but it doesn't prevent blood from going in the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the pump. It's
not a tourniquet.
No. Yeah,
this is not a real tight situation.
No, you put it tight, but it's not tight to where your hand turns
purple. Well, you're also using something that's got elasticity to it too. So
the knee wrap. Yeah, exactly.
The knee wrap has got you're doing it snug for a knee wrap, but you're not even tying as tight as you possibly can with it. And with the elasticity in the knee wrap, it's enough to get blood to get out down there, so you're not completely cutting circulation off. And that's how, you know, he probably brought this question up because I just actually posted this. Mm. So I just posted that what I'm currently doing as far as, you know, my diet, where I'm at with my workouts.
And, right. Remember that.
And I'm incorporating BFR at least once or twice a week. And BFR, like Sal was saying, is just short for blood flow restriction. So BFR means blood flow restriction. The technical term on it is blood occlusion. You're probably going to see BFR more come surfacing because it's just a sexier word than saying blood occlusion. So yeah, both are the same thing. And like we were just talking about with the trigger sessions, I actually utilize the BFR that way too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mix it in with the trigger.
Yes.
That's what I do. Yeah. I do the same thing.
So I play with it with the trigger sessions, and then I also do it in traditional routines also. So that's kind of how I,
like, as a finisher,
Exactly. Yeah. So what I'll do, like, let's say, just yesterday was, I just did this. Okay. So yesterday was shoulders and calves that I worked. So at the end of my shoulder workout, I just went over and I hit two sets of calves. And the first set I did traditionally, and then the second exercise in the second exercise I did a BFR. So I already got kind of a little bit of a pump with my first exercise, and then I just BFR'd it at the end and just, whoa.
Well, we should talk about what it feels like.
Calves feel, oh yeah, it feels.
It's like fire.
Well, can I tell you the first, so this is
it
great.
It fucking sucks. So it's the most painful thing that I've ever done in the gym.
The best part about this was the first time I actually did this, I had read up on it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And, you know, the studies talk about and this is why this is so fascinating to me, is that they compared it to somebody that was lifting heavy weights. Mm-hmm. So lifting at like 80 to 90% of their max load versus somebody who was BFR. And they looked at the amount of muscle that was built from that, and it was equal.
Right.
And that's just
super. Because when you do occlusion, you use like 30% or 20%. You go really light.
Yeah.
Because you can't go heavy because you get this pulling effect in the muscle where so much blood is being pumped in there and not enough is being pumped out that you actually start to fatigue the muscle fibers at a much higher rate. So like if I'm doing cable curls BFR style and I'm putting like 40 pounds on the cable, which I could probably do 120, right? I'll put 40 and I'll rep out 30 reps.
Yeah.
I'll wait 30 seconds and I already, you know, you get that pain, right? Because the lactic acid starts to build up.
Oh yeah.
I'll go grab that 40 pounds again and now it's like 10. Yeah. And then the third set's like 5.
Yeah.
It's like it's just fatigue.
So that was what was so funny was, so I'm reading on the study and it talks about, okay, it's actually the protocol is about 20 to 30% of your max load. So 20 to 30%, that's like nothing, right? That's less than what I warm up with. I normally warm up with a heavier weight than what the protocol is for what you're supposed to work out with this. And I'm reading up on it and I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is something like, you know, I'll do this on days when I just don't really feel like getting after it. Like when I feel like, I'll take it easy. I'm going to lift light today. I'll tie my limbs off and do some blood occlusion. So the first day I decided to do this on legs, right? And I'm like, I'll just do this on some leg day because I just went heavy a couple of days ago and I don't feel like really getting after it. Oh, dude, I get in there and I do it on the leg press, right? And the pump was so insane. I'm like sweat dripping down my face. I'm like on this lightweight. It was burning so bad. I could not wait to take those straps off my legs, dude. So you'll know when you got it right because it's easy weight you're moving, but the pump is, it'll feel like the most massive pump that you've ever had.
And you get that burn you get when you're working out, that's lactic acid buildup. It's like multiplied times 10.
Keeps it there.
Here's
multiplied times 10. It's like fire. I cannot wait to get those straps off my, you know, off my calves or whatever when I'm doing it. And here's the other thing too, is that you can overdo BFR because that's what I did. When I first did it, I'm like, BFR all the time. Let's do this. And you could totally overdo it.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a right way to do it, and then there's a wrong way to do it. And the right way, you'll get results. The wrong way, you'll actually start to regress, which is what happened to me. I started going back.
Well, this is why I feel it's, I think, you know, I know we're talking about it, and I kind of feel like we strayed away from it, almost like the other topic we were talking about, just because we hadn't had a chance to really explain in depth all of it. I'd like to release a guide. So because
that's a great idea.
Yeah, there is some ways. One, you can overdo it. Like the intermittent fasting. It kind of reminds me of that. You know, it's like the intermittent fasting of working out. You know, it's not something I recommend you do every single day. It's not even something I recommend you do several times in a week. It's something that you intermittently throw it in your workouts. And I think it's got great up benefits for it. I definitely...
We should include video because people should see how to put the straps on properly. Because it took me... It took me quite a few times before really learning how to do it.
Can we do that? Can we do that on the private portal? Can we actually post a video of us on the? Do we have the ability to post on the Facebook?
I'm pretty sure.
The portal. We have the technology. Oh, there we go.
We have the technology. That's like the $6 million
technology,
man.
Oh yeah.
So there we go.
We'll nobody under the age of 35 knows what that is.
So that's what we should. What we could do is actually show that on the Facebook portal. That way we don't have to create some crazy.
Don't put up the wrong occlusion video. We don't want people to see you doing your autoerotic asphyxiation video where you're choking yourself.
Next question, please.
I think that was it. I think we're done with the questions. We're good. So thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.